We begin our worship today with the opening prayer. Please join me in that, reading it responsively. Lord Jesus Christ, grant us grace to pass the time of our sojourning here in daily watchfulness, prayer, and faith, always looking for and hastening the day of your second coming, when you will appear again in the clouds of heaven with all your holy angels. Do not let that day surprise us in unbelief and sin, but by your grace enable us with all your saints to lift up our heads in joy and behold the fullness of our redemption. Hear us, O eternal Son of the Father, in whom with you and the Holy Spirit is all honor and glory, now and forevermore. Amen. Our scripture reading for today is taken from the Gospel according to St. Matthew, the 25th chapter, beginning with verse 1. And Jesus here uses the imagery of a bride waiting for the groom to arrive. And the 10 virgins are her bridesmaids, if you will, who are also watching for his arrival. Then the kingdom of heaven shall be likened to 10 virgins who took their lamps and went out to meet the bridegroom. Now 5 of them were wise and 5 were foolish. Those who were foolish took their lamps and took no oil with them, but the wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps. But while the bridegroom was delayed, they all slumbered and slept. And at midnight a cry was heard, "Behold, the bridegroom is coming, go out to meet him." Then all those virgins arose and trimmed their lamps. And the foolish said to the wise, "Give us some of your oil, for our lamps are going out." But the wise answered, saying, "No, lest there should not be enough for us and you, but go rather to those who sell and buy for yourselves." And while they went to buy, the bridegroom came. And those who were ready went in with him to the wedding, and the door was shut. Afterward, the other virgins came also, saying, "Lord, Lord, open to us." But he answered and said, "Assuredly, I say to you, I do not know you. Watch, therefore, for you know neither the day nor the hour in which the Son of Man is coming." These are your words, Heavenly Father. They are your truth. We pray that you would strengthen our faith through them. Amen. St. Paul teaches pastors that they are to do the work of an evangelist. And at a church I was serving many, many years ago, I would put cards up on my desk of people that had names that had been given to me, sometimes by members, to try and contact them and reach them and see if we could invite them to come to church. And there was one card I had on my desk for probably at least half a year. And about every month, I would call this, it was a woman's name, and call the phone number and talk to her. And we had very pleasant conversations. She had no real direct contact with our church, but somebody who knew her gave me her name. And she always talked very nice. She said, "Years ago, we used to always go to church, but we haven't been to church. We'll come one of these days. We're going to come." And so I kept calling her. About every month or so, I would give her a phone call. And she continually had reasons why they hadn't made it yet and was hoping someday that they could come. And all of a sudden, one day, she called me. And she said, "Last night, my husband and I were at a restaurant, and he fell over dead of a heart attack." It's in his 50s, early 50s. "Fell over dead of a heart attack. Would you be willing to do his funeral?" And I just thought, been wanting to get them to come to church and hear the gospel again, and which they admitted hadn't happened for a long time. And now, just like that, God took him out of this life. And I always wonder about that gentleman. So was he ready? Was he ready? The parable in front of us, it has to do with readiness and being ready with faith in Christ as our Savior. And this parable, probably more than any other parable Jesus teaches, is one that for me personally is really pertinent, I would say. And you can tell that the early Christians felt this way too, because this was put often right at the end of the church year, the final weeks of the church year, as a reminder of our readiness. And Jesus masterfully uses the very common imagery of his day to help teach us this wonderful heavenly truth. And the lesson here is basically this, that we might easily belong to the outward church. That's easy to do. You can easily be a member of an outward church. But for those who are waiting for him to make sure that we are, that our hearts are truly prepared in faith inwardly. Now let's take a look at some of the characteristics we can say about the five foolish virgins, okay? And we're told some things about them that we can understand a little bit, that maybe you can apply this to yourself too. So first of all, notice that they were at one time in their life properly waiting for the bridegroom. So they are members of the church. They're connected to the church in that way. And the fact that it delays, that the bridegroom is delayed in coming, starts to become the problem. They maybe get a little bit lethargic. They are in physical proximity to the other five wise virgins. They're in the company of believers. They clearly understand the significance of the oil, which in this parable represents faith in Christ as our Savior. So they clearly understand the need for that, okay? They even know where they're supposed to go to buy more oil. They know where to go get it once they realize they've run out. And they also know where the wedding hall is located. and they expect to enter the wedding hall. So these are things that we can apply to ourselves about the five foolish virgins as well. And Jesus has a lesson here for us. And the lesson isn't just for people who avoid worship, but even for those of us who may come and sit regularly in a sanctuary, it's possible for us in our hearts to fall into lethargy, where we're just kind of going through the motions. There's a passage in the book of Isaiah that always strikes me. These people honor me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. That's a penetrating line for me. Honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. Is it possible that we let that happen sometimes? Dr. Walther describes this group of people as what he calls Christians by habit, kind of just Christians by habit. And for them, their faith, their Christianity, has just become kind of a ritual that they go through. It's one of outward appearance. It's maybe one where they really don't take to heart the whole issue of repentance and clinging to God's forgiveness and grace in Christ. So on that day when the bridegroom comes, when Jesus finally returns, and by the way, that can happen either through his actual second coming or like that man in the restaurant, notice the frantic rush for more oil by these five foolish virgins. When the warning cry goes out, now it's too late. And so when the store finally closes its doors, and in a sense, the church is no longer open, the grace of God is finally no longer available at the moment that Christ returns. A number of years ago up in Minneapolis, there was a whole series of riots, probably remember seeing on TV. And there were over 1,500 businesses that were damaged from those riots. 110 business owners decided, that's it. And they closed up shop and took everything away. There's a lesson here for us that if we in our lives despise the Word of God and tend to think that it's maybe something we can wait for at another point in our life, and really have no longer a concern for applying it into our hearts and lives, there comes a point where God might just take away further opportunities to hear it. And that's a harsh lesson from this. We can see it in European countries today. We look at these huge, beautiful cathedrals that were filled with people for generations. But the people that are your age now, none of them go to church anymore. Had the gospel all around them, but slowly just squandered it and let it fly away. So those who fail to be ready in true repentance and faith will find God on that final day to be merciless. Listen to what the judge says. Assuredly, I say to you, I do not know you. That's a stark line. Martin Luther calls that the saddest words in the entire Bible. I do not know you. So the point Jesus is making for us is this, those of us who are part of his church, the time to buy the oil is right now. Don't wait. The store is open. Today, take your Lord's word to heart. And each one of us, repent of our sins before God and hold on to the beautiful, wonderful grace and mercy that he has shown us in Christ Jesus, our Savior. And take that in and understand that it's just for you. The full, complete forgiveness of all the things you've ever done wrong before God because of the blood of Christ shed on the cross just for you. Receive his sacrament that refreshes you in that and reminds you over and over that you really are his child and that you're bound for heaven. My dad used to say this to me often as a kid, and I've quoted it in here many times. Don't trifle with God's grace. Don't mess around with God's grace. Don't act like it's just a little doodad that you can play around with in your hands. Take it to heart. May the Holy Spirit work that inside of our hearts to truly cling to our Savior, the one who's given us the hope of heaven absolutely free to every one of us. And just through his word and sacraments, gives us that precious grace and forgiveness of our sins. Just quickly, look at some of the characteristics of these five wise virgins. They're very well aware of the potential for lethargy. They're concerned about that happening in their lives, okay? That's why they take more oil with them. They get a replenishment. Their hearts are pricked with concern about being ready for that. They long for him. They're looking forward to his arrival. And that's their number one concern in life. Their consciences are well aware of their sins and why they need to have the oil, meaning faith and trust in this wonderful Savior who alone can save us. They understand what a great need they have for the cross and God's grace. They treasure the good news. And they don't toy around with God's mercy. And notice the excitement as they enter the wedding hall. I don't know if you've been to some pretty neat wedding banquets. I've been to some really nice ones in my life. But nothing is going to compare with what God is talking about here. And when that day finally arrives, and we get to actually go into heaven and see how amazing it is, purely by the grace of God. And we're going to look back on all the things that potentially tried to get us to not be prepared for that day, and how meaningless they're going to seem, how worthless and irrelevant they're going to seem. And so may our petition always be to God, Lord, I believe. Help me with my unbelief. And look forward to the great day that he invites you into that wedding feast of heaven. Amen. And now may the triune God of your baptism, the Father, the Son, and Holy Spirit, bless and preserve you. Go in his peace. Amen.